Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
Oh, and first pitch crushing! Deep left field! This is way back! Welcome on!
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Frank, Scott, and Chris.
And we're live on Fantasy Baseball Today. It's Chris Towers. It's a solo podcast to recap the first half because it's finally over. We got those last games in on Sunday, and we're here for the All-Star break. Final day of the first half. We're going to recap the first half, take a look at the top 12 rankings for each position through the first half of the season. I always, you know, dislike the first half terminology because really the first half was about 8-9 days ago for most teams. But, you know, the unofficial first half of the season is now over with the All-Star break here. So we're going to take a look at the top 12 rankings at every position, top 24 for starting pitcher and outfield. We're going to look at the players most likely to stick in the top 12 the rest of the season, the players most likely to drop out, and the players who aren't in the top 12 or 24 right now, but who I think are still going to be there. So we're going to take a look at the rankings. We're going to reset those. And just a programming reminder for the rest of the week, it's an unusual week. Frank, Scott, and myself all on vacation this week. So we've pre-recorded a bunch of stuff. Monday night, though, we will have a live show with Chris Welsh of the In This League podcast and the Prospect One. He'll join me for a breakdown of the MLB draft, focusing on first-year player draft eligible players for fantasy. So first-year player draft is actually happening right now. Matt Holliday's son went with the first overall pick. I believe Andrew Jones' son went with the second overall pick, which just makes me feel so old. I'm not actually that old, but I remember, you know, Matt Holliday and Andrew Jones when they were young players. So the fact that their kids are now being drafted is, I guess this is growing up, as the man said. So we'll talk about the rankings for the player first-year player draft, obviously. For those of you in dynasty leagues, that's going to be important. For those of you in redraft, generally speaking, we get like one player every 5 years or so who makes an impact in the first year after being drafted. So not going to be as relevant for you guys, but if you want to get to know some of the next generation of superstars in Major League Baseball, make sure you tune into that. And then on Tuesday through Thursday, we've got pre-recorded stuff with Frank, Scott, and I. Keep in mind that it's pre-recorded and some stuff has happened in the intervening time that will make some of that sound a little outdated, but we're looking at redrafting the first two rounds, looking at first half trends and second half breakouts and more. And then we'll be back with our normal shows on Thursday night to preview week 17. So let's recap the first half, recap the weekend. And what we're going to do is a little different from how we usually handle the weekend recaps, because I'm going to go position by position, give you the news and notes that you need to know about, but we're not going to focus so much on the performances from this weekend because the waiver wire is less important right now than it typically is. So what I want to do is focus on the news, and then we're going to go through the top 24 for starting pitcher, top 24 for outfield, top 12 for every other position, and just kind of look back at the first half, see, you know, some surprising names in some of these top 24s and top 12s. And then I'll go ahead and show you guys my rankings for the rest of the way. If you're watching on YouTube, I'll share my screen so you can see my rankings as I go through and talk about them. But starting at starting pitcher this weekend, news and notes and just rotten luck for Chris Sale. Broke the pinky on his left hand in just his second start back from the IL. It seems like an IL stint is likely and could be a long one. Chris Sale, I believe, told reporters 4 to 6 weeks is what he's thinking at this time. So that's rough luck for Chris Sale, who comes back from the IL with that rib injury, took, you know, most of the first half to get back, but he looked like himself in the first start and then takes a line drive off the hand. He's going to be out for a while, 4 to 6 weeks. I mean, if it's 6 weeks, you're talking about early September as the timetable. So even if you're in a league with IL spots, unless you've got unlimited IL spots, Chris Sale is not someone who 100% needs to be rostered in all leagues at this point, which is frustrating given the fact that you likely spent not a significant draft pick on him, but you drafted him, you held on to him, and now you got about one and a quarter start out of him. So that's frustrating, but yeah, Chris Sale, probably someone you can let go even in leagues with an IL spot. It just seems unlikely that he's going to make much of an impact. One guy who didn't make much of an impact in his first start, but I think still looked pretty exciting, and that was Max Meyer. Marlins' top prospect made his debut on Saturday against the Phillies, and he struggled a little bit. Five earned runs over five and a third innings, but really, he got off to a really solid start. He had a strikeout in each of the first four innings. 10 of his first 12 batters were retired. And then he ran into some trouble, gave up a big home run to JT Realmuto to dead center, who kind of hung a slider in the middle of the zone, and then Rhys Hoskins went deep. But still, I think Max Meyer looked mostly as advertised. The fastball was a little bit hittable, but the slider was pretty good. Seven swinging strikes on the slider. He threw it 49% of the time, so that was his primary pitch in this one, the four-seam fastball. He threw about 35% of the time with 15% changeups. And the slider was really good, 41%. I'm always blank. Called plus swinging strikes rate, that's a really good rate. The four-seam fastball, not nearly as effective, 21%. The changeup, didn't throw it as often, only got one whiff. So, you know, that was something that we were excited about because it's the Marlins, and they develop pitchers with those changeups really well. So didn't see that from Max Meyer in the first start. But all in all, I think he's going to stick in the rotation. I think that there's a lot to like there. Averaged 95 miles per hour with the fastball. So there's some potential there for whiffs and stuff. So I think Max Meyer, you know, not the start you were looking for in his first start, but not such a disaster that you get scared off of him. So I'm excited to see what he can do moving forward. Jacob DeGrom will throw a live batting practice session before presumably joining the Mets rotation out of the All-Star break. So that's very exciting. Obviously, you know, Jacob DeGrom, best pitcher in baseball when healthy, for my money. I know Corbin Burns and Shane McClanahan and Sandy Alcantara are all awesome, but when Jacob DeGrom's healthy, there's nobody like him. His velocity's been there in the rehab outings. He's gotten like 45% strikeout rate or something. So I'm expecting him to be dominant. The only question is, will he be able to stay healthy? And it's unfortunately a question we can't answer really at any point, because like we saw in spring training, he looked awesome and then he got hurt. So there's always going to be that injury risk hanging over Jacob DeGrom, but excited to see him back. Hopefully within the first weekend of the All-Star break. So yeah, great stuff there. Nathan Eovaldi returned from the IL Friday, throwing 78 pitches. He allowed three earned runs in four and a third innings. You know, good to see him back. Not necessarily worried about the line there. Luis Severino, he left his last start with that shoulder issue. He will be shut down for 2 weeks before being reevaluated. He's hoping that it's just the 2 week shutdown, but once you start factoring the two-week shutdown, then building back up, you're probably looking at a month absence at the earliest for Luis Severino. So I wouldn't expect him back until mid-August at best. That's unfortunate, and that might be an optimistic outcome. Shane Boz was transferred to the 60-day IL, so he's out until at least mid-September. Again, not necessarily surprising, given that he was shut down with an elbow strain. His season's probably done. You can drop him in all redraft formats and you know, for your dynasty leagues. He still has a lot of upside, but he's got to make it through the rest of this season before we can start talking about next season. Carlos Rodon will not pitch in the All-Star game due to a split nail and a blood blister on his left hand. Frankie Montas could start in the first game back from the All-Star break Thursday versus Detroit. That's a good sign. He's been dealing with that shoulder issue, so hopefully he can get through that without any issue and get back to being, you know, he's not going to be in the top 24 starting pitchers, but he was someone who's in my top 24 pitchers when he's healthy. He was actually a top 20 guy before the injury, so hopefully he will be good to go. Jesus Luzardo threw 40 pitches in his rehab debut Saturday, striking out three and three innings pitched, so that was good to see him back, coming back from that forearm injury. Probably going to need a couple more rehab starts, but could be back sometime in early August. Lance McCullers threw a 40-pitch sim outing Saturday and could go on his rehab assignment soon. So, you know, again, mid to late August, probably a realistic timetable for him. Andrew Heaney gave up 4 earned runs in 2 2/3 innings Saturday in his first minor league rehab appearance, 48 pitches in that one, so he's probably a few more outings away. Edward Cabrera, another pitcher for the Marlins working his way back from injury, threw 31 pitches over 3 innings in his first rehab assignment. So, you know, probably I would say, you know, if you have him and Jesus Luzardo working their way back, Cabrera throwing a few fewer pitches, probably a start behind Luzardo if I had to estimate. Dustin May, this is great news. Dustin May threw 2 innings pitched in his first rehab start at the Arizona Complex League, working his way back from Tommy John surgery. That is potentially huge news because Dustin May, I mean, it was a very small sample size. I think he threw 5 starts in 2020 before going down with Tommy John surgery, trying to pull it up. Yeah, he made 5 starts. And in those first 4 before the injury, he had 32 strikeouts and 21 1/3. I mean, Dustin May was one of those guys who throws incredibly hard. He's incredibly hard to hit, you know, like a Jordan Hicks pitching out of the bullpen or a, you know, Yoan Duran as well. But he was doing it as a starter for, you know, that month and was looking really good, was getting the swinging strikes. And, you know, I'm not sure Dustin May is ever going to be a 6 innings per start guy, especially this season, but if he can come back, he has the potential to be a difference maker. So if you've got a spare IL spot, you know, Dustin May could be back in the next month. Zach Eflin's still dealing with knee soreness following a simulated game Saturday. No timetable for his return, and Daniel Lynch was placed on a 15-day IL with a blister. And that's going to do it for the news and notes for starting pitcher. Let's take a look at the top 24 for the first half, and shouldn't really be any surprises with the rankings. We'll go through the first 12 here at starting pitcher. This is for the first half, not including Sunday's outings. So obviously there could be some shuffling. Garrett Cole pitched on Sunday. I would guess he probably moved up a few spots, but yeah. Number 1, Shane McClanahan. Number 2, Sandy Alcantara. Number 3, Justin Verlander. None of those should really be surprising. Those guys all have ERAs under 2. Those are your 3 MLB ERA leaders. Obviously Sandy Alcantara just massive innings totals, 138. Shane McClanahan, 147 strikeouts in 110 innings. And then Justin Verlander, strikeouts actually haven't been there, but he's got the elite ERA, the elite whip. He's looked really great and actually had a really good start over the weekend with a bunch of strikeouts as well. Corbin Burnes, number 4, no surprise. He is my number 1 starting pitcher the rest of the season. I think he's probably the consensus number 1 starting pitcher. If not, it's, you know, some people want Shane McClanahan in that spot. I can't really argue with them. So, yeah. Tony Gonsolin is number 5. He's been outstanding, obviously. Not nearly as many innings, only 93 2/3. But when he's been on, he's been incredible. Alek Manoah, number 6. Shohei Ohtani, number 7. Max Fried, Garrett Cole, Joe Musgrove, Carlos Rodon, and Dylan Cease. So, that's an interesting group of players. You've got, you know, a couple of guys who we expected to be there, and, you know, Cole and Burns and, you know, I would say Rodon if he was healthy, but then we've got a lot of breakouts so far in that top 12 at starting pitcher. McClanahan, Gonsolin, Manoah, you know, not necessarily shocking to see those guys. Rodon, Cease, these were guys who a lot of people liked, but the leap that they've made, at least so far in the first half, has been really incredible. And of that top 12, again, McClanahan, Sandy Alcantara, Justin Verlander, Corbin Burnes, Tony Gonsolin, Alek Manoah, Shohei Ohtani, Max Fried, Garrett Cole, Joe Musgrove, Carlos Rodon, and Dylan Cease. Of that top 12, I mean, I don't expect all of these guys to be top 12 the rest of the season, but Gonsolin is probably the lowest ranked for me at starting pitcher, and he's still like top 26. So there's not really any flukes in this top 12. There are a couple flukes in the 13 through 24, and we'll talk about those now. Miles Michaelis, Kyle Wright, Logan Gilbert, Aaron Nola, Robbie Ray, Tyler Anderson, Framber Valdez, Zach Wheeler, Nestor Cortez, Yu Darvish, and Julio Urias. So you can start to see where some of the flukiness comes in that 13 through 24 range. And, you know, if you were going through and saying which of the top 24 aren't going to be in the top 24 moving forward, I don't think anybody would be upset if you said Miles Michaelis. He's been awesome. 2.54 ERA, 0.96 WHIP, pitching for, you know, a St. Louis team that tends to get the most out of their pitchers in terms of results because that defense is so great behind them. So it's not necessarily to say that Miles Michaelis is bad. It's just I don't think anybody disagrees that he's playing over his head. I think Logan Gilbert also probably playing a little bit over his head. You know, the strikeout numbers, 104 and 111 innings, they're good, but they're not great. He doesn't have that elite swinging strike rate to back it up either. So, you know, Gilbert, he does a lot of things well, but I think he's probably just a hair below elite. And I think the same is probably true of Nestor Cortez and Kyle Wright, especially. Tyler Anderson, I think, is in a different category, even below those guys. He's more like a top 50 starting pitcher rest of season. But yeah, Aaron Nola is a really interesting one. He had another amazing start, 8 1/3 innings against the Marlins on Sunday. The Marlins, you know, they're missing pretty much everyone who's good. Jorge Soler was back this week, but still, Jazz Chisholm out, and it wasn't a good lineup to start with. So, you know, the degree of difficulty, not especially high, but still a very impressive start for Aaron Nola, who is now, I believe, second in baseball in innings pitched. He's only 12 behind Sandy Alcantara. So as amazing as Sandy Alcantara has been, you know, Aaron Nola's been right there with him in terms of volume, maybe a little below him, but he's got a WHIP below 0.9. He's got a 3.13 ERA now for the season, 137 strikeouts. Aaron Nola is kind of surprisingly not in the top 12, but he is right on the cusp of a top 12 starting pitcher overall, and he's in my top 12 for the rest of the season. Framber Valdez, very interesting. He's just kind of rock solid, Dallas Keuchel-esque. Yu Darvish is kind of surprising as a top 24 starting pitcher just because he's been so up and down. He's been so erratic. The strikeouts especially have been a little disappointing, only 100 and 108 innings. But yeah, the volume that you get from him is always going to be good, and the ratio should be pretty good. His ERA is always a little iffy. Yu Darvish actually does have the second highest ERA of any starting pitcher in the top 24. Some notable names that aren't in the top 24, and I'll kind of just highlight a few who I think probably should be, and that's, you know, Logan Webb, Max Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw, Pablo Lopez, some guys who've had really good seasons who aren't in the top 24 outside of that, Martin Perez, Luis Garcia, Kevin Gausman, Shane Bieber, Adam Wainwright. You know, there's a lot of good pitchers out there. Frankie Montas, Brandon Woodruff aren't top 24 pitchers this season. Luis Castillo obviously has been pretty good lately. Lucas Giolito, not anywhere close to being a top 24 starting pitcher. Jose Berríos, Chris Sale, although with the injury now, not so much. Shane Boz, again, with the injury, was someone I thought could have been a second half top 24 guy. Not going to be that. So let's take a look at who I do have in the top 24. And we'll move on from starting pitcher shortly. But yeah, I'll share my screen for those of you watching on YouTube. And we'll go through the top 24. And as you can see, I do have Corbin Burnes and Gerrit Cole still at the top of the position. Justin Verlander, because of the volume, I think that's going to give him an edge. Shane McClanahan is fourth, which I think you can make a case for him as high as number one, but rest of season is what we're talking about, and there are just those questions about what the innings are going to look like the rest of the season, because, you know, Shane McClanahan already nearing his career high in terms of innings pitched, so not sure what the role is going to look like, whether the Rays are going to be careful with him going forward. He's only had one start with 100 pitches, excuse me. He's been right around 93, 94 most starts. So the thing with McClanahan is right now that hasn't been an issue because the innings totals have been amazing, you know, 6-7 innings per start just because he's been so good. I think he'll be slightly less good moving forward. That's not to say that I think he'll be bad. Please, I want to emphasize, I don't think Shane McClanahan will be bad. But 1.71 ERA so far this season, 0.8 WHIP. If he's a 2.5 ERA and 0.95 WHIP guy the rest of the season, he's probably going to have a lot more 5 and 6 inning starts as opposed to 6 and 7. Now, moving on from those guys, Sandy Alcantara is number 5. He just doesn't have the strikeouts that the rest of the guys do, and as good as he's been, he's not going to be this good moving forward. It's similar to Shane McClanahan, where you've banked what they've done so far, but you have to keep in mind that what they're doing is unsustainable. So Max Scherzer. I'm really high on Kevin Gausman. I feel like I'm kind of unusually high on him, and he was someone who, when we redraft the first two rounds later on, you know, I'm kind of the only one who mentioned him. But Kevin Gausman, 2.87 ERA, 1.84 FIP so far this season, 10.15 K per nine, 1.72 walks per nine. He's thrown 94 innings and 17 starts, so that comes out to right around 6 innings per start, I believe. And he's just really good, and I don't really get why Kevin Gausman has so much skepticism around him, considering he's doing exactly what he did last season, 2.81 ERA last season in 192 innings. And, you know, he's a little lower in the rankings for this season so far because he only has the 6 wins. I think Toronto will be better moving forward than they have been, so I don't think that's a concern. So, yeah, I'm very high on Kevin Gausman. Carlos Rodon, number 8. Zach Wheeler, number 9. Brandon Woodruff, Shohei Ohtani, Aaron Nola rounds out my top 12. And then Julio Urias, Max Fried, Shane Bieber, Dylan Cease, Joe Musgrove, Alek Manoah, Robbie Ray, Logan Webb, Frankie Montas, Clayton Kershaw, Tony Gonsolin. I've got Charlie Morton and Lucas Giolito right in that 24-ish range. I'm moving Luis Severino out of the top 24 because I hadn't done that since the injury. So that's why, if you're watching, you'll see that. But yeah, I think Morton, Giolito, Pablo Lopez, that's a really tough group. And you could go with Spencer Strider as a top 24 guy. You could go with Framber Valdez. Any of those guys, I think, makes sense. So I'm cool with all of them being top 24-ish. So let's move on to the outfield. And I'll stop sharing my screen on YouTube. And we'll go through the news and notes for the outfield before repeating the exercise with the top 24 players. Fernando Tatis has begun hitting as he works his way back from wrist surgery. You know, technically more a shortstop than an outfielder. But for our purposes, I wanted to get this closer to the top of the show, because this is big news. You know, obviously we've been waiting for Fernando Tatis, and there was there were reports that the doctors weren't sure what the next step in his recovery should be, which indicates that there's, you know, maybe some questions about his healing so far. So that's a concern coming back from that wrist injury. But look, we're getting positive news now. He's moving forward, so hopefully this is a, you know, by mid-August kind of thing where he can return, because he's been champing at the bit, you know, since I feel like we've been hearing Fernando Tatis saying he wanted to come back sooner, since like April. So, you know, hopefully he can get back and be himself, because when we redrafted the first two rounds, which you'll hear in a couple of days, you know, he wasn't necessarily in that discussion yet. But if we're talking about drafting 2023, I think Fernando Tatis, as long as he comes back and looks like himself, he's a candidate for the number one overall pick. So, you know, I'm excited to see him get back. Juan Soto turned down a 15-year, $440 million contract from the Nationals and may or will be available for trade. This is obviously, I mean, you don't see many players as good as Juan Soto in baseball history at the age that he's at. I know there's been some frustration this season, but he's got 20 homers. And the, you know, he's, I think, top 5 in the National League in OPS right now. The batting average has been low, but he's still walking a ton. And we still think he's going to be an elite player moving forward. So this is the kind of thing where, you know, if he's healthy and plays the next 5 seasons, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's probably going to be worth $40 million a year. And the contract the Nationals offered him was around $30 million a year. So, yeah, I think Juan Soto will garner just an absolutely ridiculous offer in trade, and we'll see. You know, I think the Yankees and Mets have obviously been linked to him. You know, we'll see if Boston gets in, the Dodgers, all those typical names. But I would look at, like, St. Louis as a possible dark horse, or maybe Texas. We've seen Texas, you know, this offseason really made a push to get a lot better, and, you know, they've gotten better, but not as good as they want to be. I could see them trying to put together a package for Juan Soto. So that'll be something to watch over the next couple of weeks leading up to the trade deadline, because it could be one of the biggest trades in Major League history. Mike Trout, this is unfortunate, will skip the All-Star game due to back spasms. He missed most of this weekend with the injury, and that's a concern, you know, given his injury history, given his age. Mike Trout is not someone who has had a lot of back injuries, but, you know, he's getting towards the age 30 mark. You know, you can see the back injuries starting to be a concern. So we'll hopefully, you know, get through this All-Star break, get a week off, and come back refreshed and ready to go. Matt Carpenter, it's weird to include Matt Carpenter in the outfield, but he continues to be absolutely unbelievable. Went 5 for 11 with 2 home runs and 10 RBI in the 3 games against the Red Sox this weekend. He has started 11 of the last 14 heading into the final game of the All-Star break with appearances at first base, right field, left field, and DH. So not quite an everyday player, and I'm not sure he's ever going to be. And so that makes it hard to buy in on Matt Carpenter, but the way he's playing right now, I mean, I think you just have to add him just in case, you know, just in case this is real. He's rediscovered something, this pull heavy, fly ball heavy swing that he reworked this offseason, obviously playing at Yankee Stadium in that lineup. It's been fantastic. So I'm hesitant to buy in 100%, but I can't keep denying what Matt Carpenter's doing. All right, some injury news. Harold Ramirez suffered a broken right thumb Sunday. He will be reevaluated in 2 weeks. That's a disappointment. He's been a really nice source of batting average off the waiver wire. Kyle Lewis, coming back from a concussion, will return for Seattle after the All-Star break, hopefully. Luis Robert, this is a little concerning. He missed final two games of the first half after being removed from Friday's game with lightheadedness. You know, it's being classified as an illness. Hopefully there's nothing serious going on, but obviously concerning, so we'll keep an eye on that. Eloy Jimenez also missed the final 4 games of the first half dealing with that leg injury, so hopefully both of those guys are good to go to start the second half of the season. Jorge Soler was back in Miami's lineup Friday after missing nearly a month with a pelvic injury. Christian Yelich returned to the lineup Friday. He was batting leadoff after missing 3 games with back tightness. That's a good sign given that, you know, he's dealt with back injuries recently but only missed a couple of days. And the Pirates sent Jack Sawinski back to AAA. He had 14 home runs and 250 plate appearances, but was hitting just 198. So, you know, still some contact issues there for Jack Sawinski. And let's move on to the top 24 at outfield. And no surprises, the top players are Aaron Judge, number 1. He's the top player in all of fantasy right now. And, I mean, I don't know if he's the front runner for the American League's MVP because of what Shohei Ohtani's doing, but yeah, Aaron Judge had been slowing down a little bit, but hit a couple home runs over the weekend, so don't think he's going to stop. Yordan Alvarez, number 2. Julio Rodriguez, the number 3 outfielder in fantasy in the first half of the 2022 season, hitting 272, 52 runs, 16 homers, 50 RBI, and 21 stolen bases. I mean, that is a true 5-category stud. He's the number 14 overall player. And spoiler alert, we've got him in our first round in the redrafting the first 2 rounds. So, yeah, at least for the rest of the season, that's where he's at. And I don't know if he keeps this up. I mean, if Julio Rodriguez finishes the season with like an 820 OPS, 30 homers, 35 stolen bases, it's going to be hard not to take him in the top 5. Next season. So yeah, what he's doing is absolutely outrageous. Kyle Schwarber is the number 4 player, despite hitting only 211. That just tells you how good of a season he's having in terms of 1 home runs, obviously, 29 homers, 2nd in the league, 58 RBI, 62 runs scored. So 120 combined runs and RBI at the All-Star break for Kyle Schwarber, and he's even stolen 4 bases. So he's having a monster season. Mookie Betts, number 5. Bryce Harper, Luis Robert, Mike Trout at number 8, Kyle Tucker, Brandon Drury, number 10, Tommy Edman, and Adolis Garcia. Those are some names that you didn't expect to see in the top 12. I think especially, I mean, just that trio of Brandon Drury, Tommy Edman, and Adolis Garcia, the rest of them, you know, you could squint and see Julio Rodriguez being this good in the first half. I don't think anybody thought, Brandon Drury was a complete non-entity for fantasy coming in, so what a first half he's had. 18 homers, 52 RBI, 56 runs scored, 278 batting average. I mean, has really been a 4-category contributor. And, you know, I'm not buying it necessarily as in I'm not ranking him as a top 10 outfielder rest of season, but you know, he's someone who has to be viewed as a must-start guy. The quality of contact numbers are mostly excellent. 348 expected WOBA is not nearly as good as the 370, but if he hits 265 the rest of the way and slugs 495 like his expected numbers are, I think you'd be thrilled with that. So the only, you know, the real question with Brandon Drury is whether the Cincinnati Reds opt to trade him at the deadline, because obviously, you know, he's playing at one of, if not the best home parks in baseball for power. And you see that in his splits. He's got a 936 OPS playing at home at the Great American Ballpark, 778 on the road. So still solid, still playable, but obviously not nearly as good. Let's move through 13 through 24 and some names who have, you know, it's always important to keep in mind that disappointment is relative. George Springer and Juan Soto, 13 and 14, they've been disappointments this season, but have still been absolute must-start players, and I think better days are ahead for both of them. Starling Marte, Giancarlo Stanton, Randy Arozarena, Charlie Blackmon. Very surprising to see Charlie Blackmon in there. You know, obviously really fueled by Coors Field. I'm not sure, you know, if I even buy that he's going to keep this up moving forward, but 14 homers, 277 average, 46 runs, 53 RBI. Those are all solid numbers across the board for Charlie Blackmon. Cedric Mullins, another guy, disappointing, but the 19 stolen bases, still very good. Byron Buxton, 218 batting average, but the power has been outstanding. 23 home runs, 50 runs, 43 RBI. Luis Arias is your number 22 outfielder, followed by Christian Yelich and Ryan Mountcastle to round out the top 24. And I look at the chat on YouTube and I see somebody kind of questioning, Randy Arozarena is a top 20 outfielder? Yeah, outfield's been bad. You know, Randy Arozarena has a 732 OPS. He has 11 home runs. He's got 82 RBI plus runs in, you know, 90 plus games or 80 plus games. So pretty mediocre stuff, but the 19 stolen bases are kind of all that matters. He's been such a good, you know, you can kind of say the same for Adolis Garcia, who only has 13 steals. He's kind of been a little more balanced in the power speed categories. But, you know, both of those guys, one, outfield bad, and two, stolen bases are really hard to come by. So if you can do that at the outfield position, you're going to rank pretty highly. Some notable names missing from the top 24 who, you know, you could talk yourself into being top 24 guys moving forward. JD Martinez, Ronald Acuna, Tommy Pham, Jock Peterson, Ian Happ, Taylor Ward, Teoscar Hernandez, Brian Reynolds, Ketel Marte, Marcelo Zimmer. I mean, there's no shortage of disappointments in outfield. Cody Bellinger, Nick Castellanos, Jesse Winker. Some names that I think will be in the top 24 moving forward who haven't been so far. Ronald Acuna, he's a top five overall player for me, so I think he'll be in there. I think Ian Happ's really interesting. He's right around that range. Teoscar Hernandez, I think, absolutely will be a top 24 outfielder moving forward. I think probably top 15, maybe top 12. He's been on fire since June 1st. Brian Reynolds, if he gets back over this IL, this oblique injury, and gets back, I think he'll be very good. And then Ketel Marte, I'm still high on. Marcelo Ozuna. Ketel Marte has been showing signs lately, obviously dealing with this hamstring injury that's forced him to DH for a lot of the time lately, but showing some signs of figuring it out. And I still believe in Nick Castellanos, not so much Cody Bellinger, but one name to keep in mind, and this is a guy who, what he's done so far, Michael Harris, 8 home runs, 10 stolen bases in 47 games, including a 3-steal game this weekend against the Nationals. Michael Harris has just been absolutely outstanding. Braves are still mostly hitting him towards the bottom half of the lineup, usually 9th, which is holding him back from being able to put up even better numbers, especially those counting stat numbers. And there are some flaws in Michael Harris's game. He is an incredibly aggressive swinger who has, I think, like a 3% walk rate so far this season. So, you know, you can't necessarily 4% walk rate for Michael Harris, 24% strikeout rate. It's really hard to be a really good hitter when your plate discipline looks like that. But Expected stats love him. Average exit velocity, 89.4 miles per hour. Barrel rate, 7.3 per plate appearance, or one per 7.3 plate appearances, 10.3%. 43% hard hit rate. I think Michael Harris, I mean, I don't know if he's going to definitely be a top 24 guy, but if he does what he's done so far, we might be talking about Michael Harris as a top 3-round pick next season. So very interested to see what he looks like when there's kind of some adjustments made towards him. So we're going to move on to the rest of the positions, but first we'll take a quick break right here on Fantasy Baseball Today.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere, online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
And let's talk about catcher for the rest of the season. Look at those top 24s so far and then reset the rankings. Ryan Jeffers will be out 6 to 8 weeks with a right thumb fracture. Twins could be in line for a catcher upgrade at the deadline because Jeffers had not been playing 50-50, but like 55-45 with Gary Sanchez. He had played 60 games to Gary Sanchez's 70. And then ace prospect, catcher prospect Shea Langeliers was named the MVP of the Futures game with a homer off of Jared Schuster. He's hitting .272 with an .870 OPS, 16 home runs at AAA since being acquired in the Matt Olson trade. So, you know, he's someone who you probably want to keep an eye on in the second half. The A's obviously potentially sellers. You know, we don't know if Sean Murphy's going to be part of that, but Shea Langeliers, someone to keep an eye on in the second half. All right, let's look at the top 12 catchers, and shouldn't really be much of a surprise here because there's not that many good catchers. Alejandro Kirk, number one, Will Smith, JT Realmuto, Wilson Contreras, who's really slowed down after a scorching hot start. Dalton Varsho, Jonah Heim is number six, and then the rest of the top 12. Travis d'Arnaud, Tyler Stevenson, Sean Murphy, Christian Vasquez, and William Contreras. So you can see kind of the guys who have played a lot, and then the guys who have been good in minimal playing time. William Contreras, I think, being chief among them, but also Tyler Stevenson. You know, he's a top six catcher when he's healthy. Jonah Heim has been a really nice source of power, and actually hitting .262 is really nice from him because he hasn't been killing you in batting average. So, yeah, when you look, catcher, none of these catchers are ranked in the top 100 overall players in Roto so far this season in terms of their scoring, you know, even with Alejandro Kirk hitting .316. No steals, limited counting stats, 10 home runs. Like, he's been amazing, but that just goes to show how low the bar is at catcher. And really, I think there's kind of that top five, you know, Kirk, Smith, Realmuto, Contreras, Varsho. And then after that, it's pretty mediocre. So the names that are missing, Salvador Perez wasn't living up to expectations before the injury. Now he's coming back from that injury, so we'll see. Yasmani Grandal, Adley Rutschman, Keibert Ruiz, and Danny Jansen are some of the other ones who didn't make the top 12, who I think could be in the top 12 for the rest of the season, and just kind of looking at my catcher rankings for the rest of the season, Will Smith is my number one. Him and Alejandro Kirk, I think it's a coin flip. And really the top four, kind of a four-way tie. Alejandro Kirk, Wilson Contreras, JT Realmuto, Dalton Varsho, Adley Rutschman. There's just so much potential there. I still think he's going to live up to it, and he's going to be very good. Salvador Perez, Travis d'Arnaud, Tyler Stevenson. I could move Tyler Stevenson up, and I probably will. So, you know, among healthy players, he's number seven for me. And you could make a case for him ahead of Adley Rutschman and Dalton Varsho, and I wouldn't really argue. Varsho, you know, the playing time has been awesome as expected, but only the five stolen bases, .236 batting average. You know, he's been a set it and forget it kind of catcher, but there hasn't really been a lot to get excited about there. Travis d'Arnaud, Keibert Ruiz, Yasmani Grandal, Sean Murphy rounds out my top 12 for the rest of the season. But really, I think it's like seven or eight guys that matter, and that includes Salvador Perez when he's healthy. And I think it will include Yasmani Grandal when he's healthy. He hasn't been good this season, but I just think the track record is there, and he was so good last season that I'm willing to give Yasmani Grandal the benefit of the doubt. All right, let's move on to first base and news and notes there. Spencer Torkelson was sent back to AAA. He hit 197 with a .282 on base, .295 slug. The slug is really, really disappointing for someone who, you know, we expected to have some pretty good pop. So hopefully, you know, this is not a long-term thing for Spencer Torkelson, and they'll call him back up. But given the way he's played, you know, it's hard to argue against him being sent down. He has not been good this season. And then Juan Yepez was placed on the 10-day IL with a grade 2 right forearm strain. That is a really disappointing thing for him. He's been a solid contributor, some pops, some batting average. So hopefully Juan Yepez can get healthy, but I would expect a multiple-week absence there. And let's look at the first base rankings for the 2022 season so far at the All-Star break. Paul Goldschmidt, no surprise, the number one first baseman, the number three overall player in Roto Leagues. He's hitting .330 with five stolen bases, 20 home runs, and 134 combined RBI and runs. He's been just absolutely incredible. Moving on, Freddie Freeman. Really, really good closing stretch for Freddie Freeman. I think he had 18 hits in his final eight games of the All-Star break, or heading into the All-Star break. Worked his way onto that All-Star roster in the end. Only 13 home runs. That's the disappointing thing, but .321 average, 119 combined runs in RBI, and even seven stolen bases for Freddie Freeman. He's been really solid. You know, I think the power, you're disappointed in the power, but we were disappointed in the power in the first half last season, and he turned it on. So I still think, you know, he might be more of a 25 to 30 home run guy in this offensive environment, but given that he's one of the best sources of batting average, there's nothing wrong with Freddie Freeman as your first baseman. Moving on, number three, Pete Alonso. CJ Cron, number four. Obviously, those massive splits between home and road. You know, it's like a 400-point split in OPS between Coors Field and away for CJ Cron. So when you're looking at ranking him, I think you probably just rank him a little lower than the surface numbers just because, you know, half the time he's going to be pretty bad. Anthony Rizzo is your number five first baseman, 22 home runs, .226 batting average, pretty bad, but the pop has been really nice, especially where you were able to get him. Brandon Drury shows up again. He's been awesome. Vladimir Guerrero, a disappointment for sure. You know, he was the number one player taken in a lot of leagues. .268 batting average, 20 homers, 49 runs, 57 RBI, but this is what happens when you don't steal. This is a good point to bring up. Vladimir Guerrero hasn't been bad. You know, he's got an .825 OPS. He's been a well above average hitter. He's on a 35 homer pace, you know, decent RBI and run totals, but there's just not as much of a margin for error when you look at, you know, the guys like Freddie Freeman and Paul Goldschmidt who will swipe a base occasionally. Even Anthony Rizzo somehow has six steals. The Yankees have been very aggressive on the base pass this season, so that's been a nice surprise. But Vladimir Guerrero, I think he's going to be a lot better than this moving forward. He's still a first-round pick in my eyes, so not too worried, but yeah, he's hitting the ball on the ground more, you know, after last season, you know, when he started hitting the ball in the air and we thought, you know, maybe this was the start of this massive breakout. Still an incredibly talented player though, so not too concerned there. Josh Bell, your number 9 first baseman, then Jose Abreu, Matt Olson, and Rhys Hoskins to round out the top 12. And so that's one that looks a lot, I mean, the order obviously isn't what we expected, but it looks a lot like what we would have thought coming into the season. Just, you know, shuffled order. Nobody thought Vladimir Guerrero would be the number 8 first baseman. I don't think anybody really thought Anthony Rizzo would be a top 5 guy, but for the most part, this looks like what we thought it would. Let's look at some of the notable missing names from first base. Luis Arraez, Ty France, Andrew Vaughn, Nate Lowe, Jared Walsh, Max Muncy, Joey Votto, Spencer Torkelson. You know, first base is not that good right now. So it's been a disappointing season for the first base position. And yeah, that's kind of where we're at. Looking at the rest of season rankings at first base, I still have Vladimir Guerrero number 1. I just think the upside here is so much higher than anyone else. You know, the 50 homer, 300 batting average, you know, potential just makes him worthy of that spot. But I can't really argue if you wanted to put Paul Goldschmidt or Freddie Freeman ahead of him. Pete Alonso, Matt Olson, Jose Abreu, Josh Bell, CJ Crone, Rhys Hoskins, Ryan Mountcastle, Anthony Rizzo, and Andrew Vaughn round out my top 12. I think the top 9 is pretty good. And then once you get to Ryan Mountcastle, who is actually having a very good season and has been better than I expected, but just I think that the new dimensions in Camden Yards are just holding him back. It's a really hard place to hit for a right-handed power hitter now. And so I think Ryan Mountcastle could have a really good season. It's just hard for him to do it in that environment. Rizzo, I just don't quite buy the production that we've seen so far. You know, the batting average is very low. I think it's very power heavy, and you know, he's going to continue to play his games at Yankee Stadium, so you can't really say that he's getting lucky with those short home runs. So, and then Andrew Vaughn is really good batting average source right now. I think the power is going to come, so that's kind of what puts him over, you know, your Jake Cronenworths and Ty France and Christian Walkers of the world. So yeah, that's where I'm at on first base. Let's see. Let's move on to second base. We've got a couple more positions left. News and notes for second base. Brandon Lowe returned from the IL and went 6-for-8 with a walk in his first 2 games. So that was very good to see. He was coming back from that back injury. Jonathan Arondo was sent back to the minors. I know he was someone that Scott liked a little bit. So yeah, good to see Brandon Lowe healthy and hitting, because you know he's incredibly streaky. He's been really frustrating as a player, but still a top 12 second baseman for me rest of the season. I'm very excited to see what he can do now that he's healthy. Jose Altuve missed Friday's game after being hit on the knee by a pitch, but he was back in there on Saturday and Sunday, so that's a good sign. Rangers recalled Nick Solak from AAA. He was hitting .287 with an OPS right around .850 with 5 homers and 4 steals. So, yeah, I think Nick Solak, he's someone who's been fantasy relevant in the past. I'm not sure where he's going to play. He's got some multi-eligibility, but a name to keep an eye on now that he's back in the majors. Edmundo Sosa left Saturday's game with a leg injury for St. Louis. X-rays were negative, and Jerickson Profar returned Friday after missing a week with a concussion and a neck strain. Let's talk about the top 12 players so far this season. No surprise, Trey Turner, your number 1 second baseman so far this season. After that, it gets surprising, I will admit. Brandon Drury, number 2 at second base. He's eligible in a lot of different places, so he's been incredibly valuable in addition to just the very good numbers. Tommy Edman, number 3. He's slowed down. You know, the .259 batting average, that's a disappointment after how good he was early on, but 64 runs. He's among the leaders in the majors in runs scored. 20 stolen bases. He's been excellent. Trevor Story, he is shortstop eligible, and he was placed on the IL retroactive to July 14th with that hand injury. He had been hit on the hand by a pitch earlier in the week. He is eligible to return Sunday following the All-Star break, so hopefully there's no long-term issues there. But, you know, as frustrating as his season's been, just goes to show again the power of stolen bases. He's hitting 222. That's really bad. 49 runs, 58 RBI is fine, but you know, 15 homers, 10 steals at second base, that's going to be enough to make you a top five player. Jose Altuve having another solid season, 17 homers, 8 steals, 276. This guy, Marcus Semien, might be the bounce back of the, you know, if you divide the first half into halves, you know, you kind of start going like that. He's probably one of the best players of the second half of the first half. 16 steals is already a career high. Only 236, but 12 homers, 42 RBI, 49 runs scored for Marcus Semien. He's really been outstanding. You know, not as good as he was last season. Still a disappointment. Still underperforming overall. But for most of the season, at this point, Marcus Semien's been very good. Jazz Chisholm, Gleyber Torres, Luis Arraez, Tyro Estrada, and Andrés Giménez round out the top 12. So yeah, another situation where second base, just a lot of surprises, and you know, the bar is relatively low. Although it's worth pointing out, Andrés Giménez is a top 100 player overall in Roto scoring this season. Luis Arraez obviously leading the majors in batting average. It's kind of all he does. He has 52 runs scored, so I don't want to say it's all he does. You know, he's kind of a two-category guy, no pop, no steals, but still, Luis Arraez is a very nice player to have around. And then Tyro Estrada, we talked about on the podcast last week. Nobody's quite sure what to do with Tyro Estrada. You know, he doesn't play every day because he's a Giant, and nobody plays every day for the Giants. I don't necessarily think we buy him as like an above-average hitter, but the 12 stolen bases, that's very nice. Often when we're talking about Roto, things come back to stolen bases. So yeah, he's a solid player who probably hasn't gotten the credit he deserves. Some notable missing names at second base, Jorge Polanco, he's number 13. Ty France would absolutely be a top 12 guy if he hadn't gotten hurt. Whit Merrifield, one of the bigger disappointments this season. Ketel Marte, also disappointing, although he's been better lately. Ozzie Albies was a disappointment, but this is mostly about the injury. If it wasn't for the injury, he'd be a top 12 guy. Jeff McNeil, Brandon Lau, Max Muncy, all guys who are not in the top 12 who you might have expected to see there. So let's move on to rest of season rankings at second base. And I've got Trey Turner at the top, followed by Jose Altuve, Trevor Story, and then Ketel Marte for me, but I know I'm higher on Ketel Marte than most people. So if you want to put Ketel Marte, you know, I think you could drop him as low as eighth and it would make sense. But I think there is kind of a top eight at the position. Then Marcus Semien, Tommy Edman, Brandon Lau, Jazz Chisholm, Whit Merrifield, Javier Baez, surprising that he wasn't in there. He's been better lately, but obviously got off to a really bad start. Jorge Polanco and Luis Arraez, you know, some of the other names I consider, Jonathan India, Gleyber Torres, you know, Jake Cronenworth and Ty France, you know, they're eligible everywhere, so that helps. But yeah, some of the guys I considered for second base, probably the weakest position in fantasy at this point. I don't think anybody, well, not catcher, but you know, besides that. So let's move on to shortstop, which is arguably the deepest position in fantasy. Some news and notes there. Brandon Crawford placed on the IL with knee inflammation. That's the second time he's been on the IL with a knee injury. Previously it was left knee inflammation. This time it's right knee inflammation. So that's just some old guy stuff there from Brandon Crawford. He's just got inflamed knees. Who among us? Jazz Chisholm has been hitting, running, and working on defense as he works his way back from a back injury. The next step for him is not yet known coming into the weekend, but seems like he's close. He has maintained that he's going to play in the All-Star game. He hasn't pulled out of the All-Star game yet, so hopefully that means he'll be back, you know, beginning with the return from the All-Star break, because Jazz Chisholm, you know, even with this injury, missing a decent amount of time lately, he's still been a top 12 guy at the position. The 12 stolen bases, 14 homers, 255 average. I mean, Jazz Chisholm has been about as good as you could have hoped for. Had been the Marlins' best player, I guess position player, not including Sandy Alcantara. So, yeah, hopefully he's back. And then John Birdie was placed on the 10-day IL with a left groin strain. That's bad news for the Marlins and for fantasy players who have been riding the John Birdie stolen base express. I think it's kind of coming derailed right now, and that's a disappointment, but you know, we'll see what it looks like, the playing time for him when he gets back, because I think he's been benefiting from some of those Marlins absences. So yeah, we'll see. Top 12 at shortstop. Trey Turner, number one player in shortstop so far this season. Number one at shortstop and second base. Dansby Swanson, really good season. 15 homers, 14 steals, 291 average, five category stud, top 12 player overall. So just outstanding stuff from him. Francisco Lindor, it's interesting to see him as the number three shortstop. 16 homers, 9 steals, 54 runs, 66 RBI. That's really where Francisco Lindor has been just outstanding so far this season. 753 OPS for the season is pretty good, but sort of run of the mill. Like, it's he has actually a lower OPS than Bobby Witt so far. Bobby Witt, the number four shortstop, despite being, I think, a little bit of a disappointment. 13 homers, 17 stolen bases for Bobby Witt. 100th percentile in sprint speed, really good pop. Just superstar stuff from Bobby Witt, even though the results haven't necessarily been quite superstar level yet. Certainly superstar potential. Tommy Edman, number five. Right, number five, yeah. Corey Seager, number six. Disappointing season for him, only really in terms of the batting average. The 22 homers on pace for a career high, almost on a 40-homer pace. And his BABIP is like 85 points lower than his career mark. Corey Seager is absolutely one of the guys I expect to be better in the second half than he was in the first half. And you got Trevor Story, and you can see that gap between second and short. Trevor Story was number four second baseman, and he's number eight at shortstop. Xander Bogaerts quietly hitting .318, but only seven homers, because this is what Xander Bogaerts does. He's kind of like a different version of this of the same excellent player every year. He's really hard to get nailed down, but he's always going to be good. You know that. Marcus Semien and Jazz Chisholm round out the top 12. So some of the names who didn't make it at shortstop. Gleyber Torres, number 13. Willy Adames, number 14. Tim Anderson, surprisingly not a top 12 player. He always misses some time, but he's hitting .311, six home runs, 11 stolen bases in 64 games, only 22 RBI and 43 runs. So he's been hurt by the fact that that White Sox lineup has not been particularly good. Carlos Correa has a 808 OPS right now, and the expected stats are even better. So I think he's going to be very good moving forward, and you know, possibly. You can make an argument that Carlos Correa's expected stats are better than they've ever been right now. So that's really good. Wander Franco out 5 to 8 weeks with that hand injury, hitting .260 with a .308 OBP, .397 slug. Javier Baez, not in the top 12, but over the past 20 games, he's on a 49 homer, 16 stolen base pace. So he's really turned his season around, .266 batting average. And, you know, we mentioned that, 60 game mark. He's turned it around right around the 60 game mark, which was where he was in that very bad 2020 season. So you can't give up on Javier Baez no matter how bad things look. He is right around the fringe of my top 12 at shortstop moving forward. I'll just go through that real quick. Bo Bichette, also a name that didn't end up in the top 12 so far this season, but I think he will be moving forward. I've got shortstop looking like this: Trey Turner, Bo Bichette, Tim Anderson, Trevor Story, Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, Xander Bogaerts, Francisco Lindor, and there's a really tight margin between number two and number eight at shortstop. I think they're very bunched up. And then Tommy Edman, Bobby Witt, Carlos Correa, and Jazz Chisholm. There are 14 players at shortstop who are inside of my top 75 overall. Fernando Tatis, Dansby Swanson, also in there. So even if you think Dansby Swanson should be a top 12 guy, I don't really disagree. You know, I could move him up very easily. So point is, shortstop's awesome. Move on to third base. Some news notes there. Evan Longoria was activated from the 10-day IL on Saturday. And Nolan Arenado missed the final game of the first half with back tightness. He, I think, wasn't going to play on Sunday. They got rained out, so not sure. Doesn't appear to be much of a concern. I don't think he's pulled out of the All-Star game, so hopefully won't be an issue in the second half. But something to keep an eye on with a guy in his 30s. You know, we are concerned about Mike Trout and Christian Yelich back, so we'll note it for Nolan Arenado. Third base. You know, so I just saw someone in the comments say there's Jose Ramirez and then there's everyone else. Actually, if you go by the production so far this season, there's Jose Ramirez, there's Rafael Devers, and then there's everyone else. Jose Ramirez, the number one player at third base, number seven player overall, 19 homers, 13 stolen bases, 288 batting average. I mean, just an absolute stud, arguably the best player in fantasy, especially if you play in a roto league. So, yeah, exceptional stuff from Jose Ramirez. But Rafael Devers is right there with him so far. He's the number eight player, only two steals, so that's probably the gap between them, but 327 batting average, 22 home runs, 55 RBI, 62 runs from Rafael Devers. He's been outstanding. This is the best version of him that we've seen so far. Really, really like what we've seen from Rafael Devers. You've got Austin Riley, the number 11 player overall. I think he hit a home run again on Sunday. He's got 27, 61 RBI, 54 runs scored. Doesn't run, but a 284 average. I mean, Frank and I have talked about it a lot this season, how wrong we were to be skeptical of him. He's just really good. Manny Machado, 306 average. He's the number four third baseman, 15 homers, 7 stolen bases. He missed a little bit of time, might be even higher if not for that. Brandon Drury, there he is again. Brandon Drury, a top 12 player at four different positions in the first half of the 2022 season. Who could have seen it coming? Bobby Witt, number six. Nolan Arenado, number seven. I'm surprised Nolan Arenado is number seven. This is another one. He's the number 36 overall player, so not low by any means, but 293 batting average, 18 homers, 59 RBI. The places that Nolan Arenado struggles are one stolen base. That's not part of his game. And 41 runs scored. He's a low OBP guy, and he's not fast. So I think Nolan Arenado, he's kind of a really good three-category guy, but not necessarily the five-category or even four-category stud that some of the other guys are. And then there's a big gap between Nolan Arenado as the number seven player and Luis Arraez as the number eight. Luis Arraez is the number 81 player overall. So that shows you how shallow third base is, that we've got the entire top 12 at shortstop was within the top 65 players. Third base, the top seven is inside the top 65. So just a big gap there. Closing out the top 12 with Luis Arraez, Patrick Wisdom, Wilmer Flores, and John Birdie. Some notable missing names, Matt Chapman, Alex Bregman, Justin Turner, Alec Bohm, Brian Hayes, Isak Paredes, who's been very good but not quite top 12, Josh Donaldson, Jose Miranda, who's been absolutely on fire over the past month or so. You can make an argument he's a top 12 third baseman rest of the season, just with the way he's played lately. Max Muncy, and then Chris Bryant, who I want to point out. I think Chris Bryant has rightly been a disappointment. I think a lot of people are rightly disappointed, but he's hitting .311 with a .377 OBP, .475 slug in 32 games. So Chris Bryant, a lot of that was, a recent hot stretch, but he's been very good when he's been on the field. The issue has been injuries for him, but I think someone you could view as a potential top 12 third baseman the rest of the season. And this is how I rank third base the rest of the way: Jose Ramirez, Manny Machado, Rafael Devers. I mean, Machado and Devers is really a coin flip. There's very little differentiating them. I think for me, Machado just gets a little bit of an edge in a roto because of stolen bases, but Devers in a points league makes perfect sense. Austin Riley's not far behind them. Nolan Arenado, Bobby Witt, Alex Bregman, Chris Bryant, Luis Arraez. And I don't really even want to say the rest of them because it's just not very good. And even Luis Arraez is pretty fringy. So I've got Ke'Bryan Hayes as a top 12 third baseman the rest of the season. I might be alone in that, but the quality of contact metrics are really good. He just has to start elevating the ball, but he's a stolen base threat who could hit for a good batting average with some pop moving forward. And I'm willing to bet on that because he's shown some elite skills. John Birdie's number 11 for me. We'll see with this groin injury, and Justin Turner's 12, but it's an eight person position and really maybe six person position at third base. It's a pretty bad one. So not a particularly strong place for third base to be. And that's what we expected coming into the season. So, at least you can't say you're disappointed in third base. And that's going to do it for this episode of Fantasy Baseball Today. Thanks for coming along for the solo ride. We'll be back tomorrow with Chris Welsh from the In This League podcast to talk about the MLB draft and the players you need to know about that. I will see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.